From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Up ahead, the joy of karaoke. You know, some people just don't get karaoke, and some people get it big time. One of the latter is Rolling Stone contributing writer Rob Sheffield. He writes the column Pop Life. He's the author of two books, Talking to Girls about Duran Duran and Love is a Mixtape, Life and Loss, One Song at a Time. Rob's new book, Turn Around, Bright Eyes, The Rituals of Love and Karaoke. He talks some more about the sudden death of his wife when they were 31, the new life crisis brought on by living in New York through 9/11, and how karaoke saved him. Thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. So great to meet you.
I'm on the other side of the karaoke divide. I must confess, I don't quite get it. But reading your book did help. And maybe we can get some help from our listeners, too, who are karaoke fans. What is it that you love about it? Give us a call, 206-543-5869. What's your karaoke song? 206-543-KUOW. Or if, like me, you are still a bit baffled by the attraction of karaoke, maybe Rob can help you with that. It's 800-289-5869, or write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. Rob, you write, part of your fascination is that there's nothing else like karaoke in our culture.
It's true. It's something that allows anybody to participate in music, even those of us with no talent whatsoever. And as somebody who's always loved music and always written about music and always enjoyed playing it on the radio and sharing it with friends, this is something that actually allows me to slip into that pop star fantasy for a few minutes at a time.
And as you point out, you don't go to a restaurant and get invited to go into the kitchen and cook something. Or you don't get invited to a play to stand up on stage and read a line or two. Yeah. But you're actually invited to be a singer when you go to karaoke. But how about air guitar? There are now even air guitar competitions.
I love that. It's a beautiful thing. It's something that we all do, and to have it celebrated in public is a beautiful thing, I think.
It's karaoke-like, isn't it?
Very karaoke-like. Just the thing is, people just need to share music. It's a fundamental human need, and this is just one of the ways.
Well, you describe it in an interesting way. You're right that karaoke is an American ritual that rewards people for doing things they suck at doing, which is generally not what we're rewarded for.
That is true. It's something rare in our culture that you go to a karaoke place and you see people listen to each other and they applaud each other. A room full of strangers, people haven't seen each other before. They're never going to see each other again. And you see people high-five each other, cheer, they clap. People from all different walks of life, all different musical tastes, all different age groups, all different personality types, and just all checking each other out and turning each other into stars.
But some people aren't doing it ironically, right? I mean, some people go and they have good voices and they are serious about their karaoke and they really knock it out of the park, don't they?
Some people take it really seriously. Some people actually have that, you know, that virtuosic voice technique that is, it's baffling to me because when I go out to a karaoke bar, the last thing I expect is good singing.
Now, you write that no one goes to scoff or judge at karaoke, but come on, isn't that part of the appeal that you're going to go and hear someone kind of make a fool of themselves missing those notes? Isn't there a little bit of scoffing in the background there?
Not so much scoffing, so much as identification, because you're going to get up there in a few minutes and you're going to blow the same notes. You're going to make the same fool out of yourself. The humiliation is shared on a very democratic level.
Have you ever gotten heckled while doing karaoke?
I've never gotten heckled. Sometimes I've heckled myself. But the thing is, karaoke creates this warm, embracing environment where you can actually sing a song and think, wow, I'm actually nailing this song, when you are not nailing it.
Now, someone told me that actually sometimes you will get the hook in karaoke. Have you seen that happen?
It's usually when somebody just turns tail and runs, which happens. Sometimes it's an intimidating environment.
We're talking about the joys of karaoke. Maybe you know those joys. We're at 206-543-5869. You might know my guest, Rob Sheffield. He's writing about karaoke in his most recent book, which is just out this week. It's called Turn Around, Bright Eyes, The Rituals and Love of Karaoke. It's about his life and his experiences with it. I'm kind of asking you to help me out here. What do you like about karaoke, if you do like it, or maybe you've got a question for Rob about why he likes it? We've got Melody, who's on the line right now. Melody, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You love karaoke.
I love karaoke, yes.
So, Sarah, it helped you through a divorce.
Yeah. So a few years ago, while I was single, kind of, I would sing You Can't Always Get What You Want by The Stones. And I don't know if you realize that's a 7-minute song where everybody has to sit and listen to you scream out, "You can't always get what you want," and then fall to your knees. It's a very, very expressive thing.
So you were exorcising through singing that song?
Wow.
And, you know, I also play music and I write songs, but karaoke is completely different. It's something that you take lighthearted, and maybe you do well, maybe you don't, and it's just about having fun. It's not about being serious. And that's what I really love about it.
It's the fun thing. Hey, Melody, thanks for sharing that with us. I appreciate it. But it did help her get through her divorce, and your book is subtitled Rituals of Love and Karaoke. You're obviously making a link there.
Sure. You take an emotional risk when you get up to sing, especially if your voice is anywhere near as terrible as mine. So the courage that it requires to get up and sing in front of people, for me, it turned out to be very much like the courage that's required to fall in love. You know, they're both taking risks and putting yourself out there when you know what the dangers are.
I had no idea about how many different kinds of karaoke there were. I knew that karaoke started in Japan. I learned that it means empty orchestra. I did not know there are karaoke shills. What are they?
It's a friend of mine. He gets paid to sit at the bar pretending he's an ordinary customer. So when the karaoke action gets quiet, he gets up and performs and makes other people, kind of breaks the ice to get other people into it.
How does he do that beyond just being someone standing up there and doing it? He probably doesn't want to sing too well, right?
Yeah, he has to look like just an ordinary guy who's just kind of bluffing his way through it. He doesn't have a great voice, and it wouldn't work if he had a great voice.
Now, there's your corner bar that has karaoke, and then there are places you can go and sing in a private room. What's kind of the differences in the karaoke experience between just you and a few friends in a room versus you in a bar with strangers?
It depends on the sort of trust level that you're looking to build, because when it's just you and your friends, you know, you're in your corner singing to each other, you're throwing requests at each other. When it's a room full of strangers, it sort of opens it up emotionally to just being willing to go through anything in front of these people that you've never seen before.
Now, you're a rock and roll journalist. You can't be that shy of a guy. It probably wasn't that hard to get you up singing, was it?
It wasn't that hard. But it was astounding to me the first time I did it with some friends. I thought, I'll go, I'll sit, I'll listen, I'll laugh, I'll clap. You know, I'll be part of the experience, but I'm not going to get up there and sing. And, of course, it did not take much to get me up there doing my Neil Diamond all over the room. It was pretty astounding what a fast change that was for me.
What Neil Diamond did you go with? I've heard Sweet Caroline always kills.
Sweet Caroline always kills. I did I Am, I Said, the one where he's talking to the chair and no one hears it all, not even the chair. I like cosmic Neil Diamond. That's kind of my karaoke guy.
Rob Sheffield, you also point out about how truly democratic karaoke is, and you tell a great story about Robert Plant, who went to a karaoke contest.
Yeah, Robert Plant, he had this great story that he told us at Rolling Stone, where he went to China to do karaoke, and he was out in the countryside. Nobody recognized him. Nobody knew who he was. Nobody had heard of Led Zeppelin. And he thought, I'm really going to bring down the house. I'm going to sing It's Now or Never by Elvis, and everybody's going to be blown away. And the karaoke contest at the end of the night, Robert Plant came in second. Number one was a guy from Taiwan singing Tony Orlando and Don, Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree. Robert Plant said, how did this happen? I got beaten by Tony Orlando guy.
I wonder if he's ever sung karaoke since then. He came in there thinking he was going to do it. Let's go to Alan, who's listening to us today in Montlake. If you're a karaoke lover, a karaoke skeptic, give us a call. Alan, you like the karaoke.
Lover of karaoke.
Lover of karaoke. Okay, and why?
So I'm a guitarist. I go on stage every week in open mics around town, and I'm not a professional. I enjoy it though, and I got a buddy there that always says, "Oh, I'd like you to meet my friend Alan. He's in therapy, trying to overcome his painful shyness." So, by the way, I saw your book walking past the bookstore here in Seattle. I haven't bought it yet, but I will on Amazon probably today.
There you go, Rob.
Thanks, man.
So I go on stage, and I do have a presence. I mean, I really love to sing, and without being arrogant, I am a good singer. And so it's always fun to, like, entertain. And I really have no other value than that. It's really like I go up there, I sing really difficult songs. I sing a lot of blues songs.
Alan, what's your AAA killer song? If you get up there and you know it's going to kill, what is that song?
Probably One Way Out, Babe, or I Can't Quit You, Babe, by Zeppelin. It's actually a Howlin' Wolf song. And when you mention Robert Plant, here's how old I am. I saw the first concert in New York of Led Zeppelin at the Fillmore East, and then the next week at the Palladium, or it was maybe called the Academy of Music. But and how you know, how somebody like him could go in and get beat out by a guy from Taiwan singing Pyro made me laugh. So. Yeah.
Hey, Alan, thanks a lot for calling. I really appreciate it. And maybe you'd like to share a story with us about your love of karaoke or a question about karaoke. We got too much dudage on the line. I'm sure there are some women who like karaoke. Please give me a call, 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Don't let the guys dominate the conversation about this. 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation@kuow.org. There are these other kinds of karaoke. There's rockaroke. You get a rock band backing you up, and apparently they're really good. They can do pretty much everything. And in some places, I hear you even have some backup singers. How's that dynamic different?
It's wild. When there are actual musicians involved, I kind of feel like that's almost like too much like sitting in with the band. I've sat in with my friends' bands, and it's a different kind of thing because when you're working with actual musicians, you're responsible on a level. Whereas with karaoke, when you're just singing over the backing tracks, you're not, you know, insulting anybody. You're not insulting the drummer by failing to keep time. It's just between you and the song and your friends.
So it's a little more nerve-wracking to have a real band there.
It's a little more nerve-wracking. A friend of mine had her birthday party that had a thing called spa-rioke, where they got manicures and pedicures while singing. So the birthday girl is in the chair getting her hair blown out, getting a pedicure while singing Stevie Nicks. I thought that was the most amazing thing. I thought, this is the wave of the future, spa-rioke.
Rob Sheffield, another thing I learned in Turnaround Bright Lights about karaoke, and I didn't realize this, I guess it's fairly common. You went to a karaoke session in Yucca Valley, California, and a lot of times the DJ will pick up the tune if the singer's not quite bringing it to kind of add a little support there. That happens?
Yeah, the DJ had a little setup where he could fade down the singer's mic and fade up his own mic in case the singer got a little too terrified by being in the spotlight. You have the sense that he'd done that maybe a few times before. There was this woman singing the Shania Twain song, Who's Bad of Your Boots Been Under, and by the chorus she just got spooked and she just, you know, kind of froze in the headlights, and he just gradually took over. It's a good karaoke jock.
Let's go to Guy in Snoqualmie today. Guy, you like karaoke?
I love it and I hate it.
We know why people love it. We're hearing a lot of that. Why do you hate it?
Because I, like I was telling the lady, it's like jumping out of an airplane. I mean, I would no more expect somebody to jump out of an airplane and be able to fly than I would expect somebody to sing well at karaoke.
Have you ever landed splat?
No, because I usually do the room one. Am I allowed to mention a venue that I like?
Sure, go ahead.
Rockbox in Capitol Hill. I mean, small room, and they're great at keeping track of the tabs.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, I Am I Sad is the song that...
Guy, we're kind of losing you, Guy. I'm sorry. Your phone is kind of fading out there. I'll tell you, Rob, the thing that's always freaked me out a little bit about karaoke is that how do you know it's in your key? You know, nothing worse than trying to strain for a note you're never going to make.
You know, it helps a lot if you don't know what your key is. Sometimes I will begin a song and then find out. I once tried to do one of the most impossible songs to sing, Life on Mars by David Bowie. And boy, I started out singing in one key, and then I realized, wait a minute, this is way too high for me. Then I realized, wait a minute, this is way too low for me. I staggered all over the place by the time I got to the chorus.
What is success for karaoke singing for you? How do you know you have succeeded when you're up there singing?
It's just pure enthusiasm, pure passion, and talent means nothing. Just the verve that you throw into it, that's all your own, and that's what makes it positive.
But what if they're just talking and they're not paying any attention to you? It is about the audience a little
bit,
isn't it?
For me, the ultimate compliment is when some drunk girls in the audience grab the mic and finish the song. One of my favorite songs to do is Tell It to My Heart by Taylor Dane, that great 80s disco song. And I've literally never gotten all the way to the second chorus because some drunk girl always grabs the microphone to finish the song. That means I did my job.
Let's go to Patty. She's with us in Federal Way today. Patty, thanks so much for calling. You love karaoke.
I love karaoke.
Why do you love it?
It's a great way to make friends. I've been moving all over the country most of my life and find myself in a new city often. And it's an easy way to meet people and just break loose.
Well, tell me, like, you go to karaoke, and what does if someone gets up to sing something, does it tell you something about that person that makes that person interesting to you?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, well, I've got my favorite song, which is ironically, like, the title of his book, where I get up there and sing, Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I'm an amputee. It's hilarious.
Really?
Every now and then I fall apart, you know, I get it.
And you've made friends. You've made a lot of friends at karaoke.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because you get up there, you make a fool of yourself, and then that the ice has been broken.
The ice has been broken. You can fall no further. You have no pretense left. It's just you out there.
Right. Instead of like walking up to a table full of people you've never met, all of a sudden you get off stage and someone has a comment. Bam, you have an introduction.
Do you have to go by yourself or do you go with friends, Patty?
Well, when I'm new to town, I generally go by myself. And by the time I go the second time, I've got probably 20 friends going with me.
Are you ever that inebriated young woman who grabs the microphone from Rob and sings the last chorus of the song because you're so inspired?
Oh, no. I got through my college years. I no longer try to be the drunk girl in town.
Good for that. Patty, thanks a lot.
Yeah, one or two drinks is enough.
Yep, amen. Rob Sheffield, Turnaround, Bright Eyes, The Rituals of Love and Karaoke. In that book, you talk about two songs that express karaoke at its most extreme. Living on a Prayer, John Bon Jovi, Don't Stop Believin' by Journey. Aside from both titles dropping the G's, why do they represent the extremes of singing?
They're so communal. There's something almost anonymous about the way those big, cheesy 80s overstated choruses build up. And in a way, that's the whole karaoke sort of worldview, that you sing along with this whole group. It's almost like this entire nation of people from sea to shining sea singing Don't Stop Believin' at the same time. And it's beautiful because you know that at any given moment in some karaoke bar somewhere in the world, somebody is singing that song. And all you have to do is sing along and join this global community.
Rob Sheffield, the book is called Turn Around, Bright Eyes, The Rituals of Love and Karaoke. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
And speaking of Don't Stop Believin', here's the Arizona State Marching Band. David Hyde produces The Conversation with Arwen Nix. Jack Walters is our engineer. We get production help from Allie Ferguson. I'm Ross Reynolds. Thanks for listening.